Hey guys, sorry we are a day late, but we've got all the goods. We're talking episode 2, Mo White. Here we go.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Day late, but not a dollar short. We've got all the goods for everyone today.
That's what happens when you let the gays, the Hispanics, and the blacks run everything. Let the white man be in charge again!
Mo White! Phil, that's going to be taken out of context, and that's going to be really bad for the both of us. That is not the case! But, hi guys. Welcome back. We've got a lot of amazing news and gossip for you coming up. Some great predictions, but we want to dive right into the show. It is just me and Phil tonight. JJ and Juliet are both... The J's are gone.
We've established the rule that if we're in studio, they can be elsewhere, but not in studio. When they're right here, we'll be elsewhere.
Exactly. Okay,
just
that works
like
for me.
Amy and Amy.
Yeah, right. You fake Amy or you real Amy?
No, we're real Amy's.
And then they're fake Amy's. Okay, perfect. Great. Okay, so episode 2, I'd love to hear your overall thoughts first, and then we'll dive into each character's storyline.
It went in unexpected places, in particular Ian's storyline. Carl's was sort of the least... I mean, it's funny, but it's not developing the way that I thought. And everything else is great. I like the way it's going. I mean, Fiona and Lip have always been the central characters and the ones whose storylines mean the most.
Sure.
And those are the ones I'm most interested in.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Carl, so let's just start there since he doesn't have a huge storyline this week. He's trying to figure out what he can do for, you know, community service, because when he goes to get a recommendation letter from their state politician, the secretary is like, where's your volunteer work and all of your resumes and all that stuff? And he didn't realize that his volunteer work from juvie that was court ordered wasn't going to count, or that he even needed any to begin with. So he goes to this one place, doesn't work out because he doesn't want to mentor anyone, and then she gives him...
He can't mentor anyone.
No, I mean, you're right. He's definitely not in the place to mentor anyone. But he ends up at this dog euthanization facility where, you know, a guy is bringing in people's dogs who he was sick of seeing in dumpsters and buried and whatever.
Is it a euthanasia clinic or a Ashdogowitz?
Oh, wow. Phil... That is so awful, but that was great.
All you can do is laugh about it.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. It's shameless, everyone. If you like the show, you liked that joke. Yeah, it's so bad. Literally, these dogs are being thrown in a room, and then they're just blowing this, like, poisonous gas in there to just gas them out and kill them.
You know what? Because I love dogs so much, this was quite horrendous.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of flipped it on script, because at least we never saw, like, the dogs in any sort of pain.
Yeah, they didn't go that way, thank goodness.
But I appreciate the efficiency. It's not like we're killing one dog at a time. We get them three in a room. Oh, Rex is dead. This dog's
dead.
He's
a non-for-profit. He doesn't have the money for food and kibble or time, for that matter. So
yeah.
Well, Carl, I think after seeing, you know, he sees the first set of dogs, unfortunately, be put down, and then the second set, the guy's a vet. He's lost his eye. He realizes it was a service dog, and oh my god, wasn't he a cute bulldog? His face is just like, he was so cute. But he could not let this dog be killed, and even though the owner of the charity, you know, said he couldn't hold them there because of, you know, paying for kibble and food and all that kind of stuff, Carl's like, screw you, dude, I'm taking them home. And that's what he does. He takes them home to the basement that he tortured people also to get them back to being sober.
You know, this basement is serving up multiple purposes. Ultimately, I'm surprised kind of that it led to this to begin with, because when you say, like, volunteer work, like, I get that he's done none, but just his attitude towards it, like, he's supposed to be a reformed man at this point.
Right.
I don't know if that's like West Point Academy style of just say, like, I thought we'd just blow up Afghani.
Right. I know. Oh, man. You can see Carl's heart, and then you can see, you know, where he's just like a Gallagher. You know, he has those moments where he's like, I want to save all these dogs, and it's really nice. And then he's exactly what you said. So, yeah, I mean, do you like his storyline right now, or are you just a little kind of indifferent about it?
I'm indifferent only because it doesn't show progress. You know, not that I want to go back to dealing with Cassidy, but, like, I guess she really is dead. No aftermath of that.
Thank God.
So, and I mean, the sweetest moment was when he hugged Ian. And I really wanted to kind of explore their relationship a little bit, maybe because I wanted to see Ian open up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we saw even have a little moment of kind of like, oh, you're leaving already? Like, you're not even going to ask me about jail or see how I'm doing type of thing. Well, let's talk about Ian because, like you said, I was a little bit surprised too where they kind of moved this storyline. So we saw with Fiona, he didn't want to leave prison. He wasn't done. And so she was going to take, you know, his bail money and do something else with it. And so he's in jail when this show starts and he's marrying off all of the couples in the prison. So I thought that was really funny. And I liked how that kind of played out. We end up finding out that people have raised money for his bail. And so he's taken out before he can actually marry any of those people. Not that that would have been
by the great state of Idaho.
And
Iowa,
Illinois.
That's it. One of the eyes.
Yeah. Illinois. So yeah, he doesn't even get to marry them and he leaves and immediately is like bombarded with all of his fans. It's become this huge, Gay Jesus has become something so big that he is like beyond overwhelmed. Talk a little bit about what you thought with the girl who's like his campaign manager kind of and is running this whole operation.
I mean, the heart's in the right place. I think both sides were sort of wrong. Number one, to tell him like, oh, tell him all like how prison was and how badly you were beaten and so forth.
Right.
I think having the enthusiasm for him to be able to speak and the fact that they got this money together, I think is a great thing. And I don't think Ian should be turning a blind eye to it.
Right.
But I get the sense that I think he needs to stand up in the right way and just say, whoa, 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 guys, like, I'm glad for this movement, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to do what I've always done. And I'm going to speak the truth.
Right. It's very much becoming more of like, you know, political and how we see all of the other campaign managers, which we'll talk about in a bit, lying and cheating and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, he escapes. It almost felt like to me he felt like he was in more of a prison when he got to the church and was given, you know, all of those rules and subjects to talk about and all that kind of stuff than he actually felt when he was in prison. And then he escaped out of the bathroom window.
He did, and I'm curious to kind of know from your perspective, like, does he just ultimately hate the attention now? Because it was pared down at jail. Like, he felt effective. Now he...
That's the thing. I think now it's become such a huge movement that he doesn't get to see the direct results with, you know, maybe specific people like he did in prison. So maybe it is too much for him. Or he doesn't... Like you said, like that people are telling him what to do, and that's just turning him off completely. I maybe think that his emotional state, because again, we still don't think he's taking his meds, is being, you know, he's still probably really upset that he didn't get to finish what he was doing in jail, and that's going to take over his brain now. He gets that like obsessive, you know, brain when it comes to certain things, and so I think he was on that path and wanted to finish that and kind of forgot about that side of Gay Jesus, and now he's back, and all of a sudden he's like, how can I switch my mentality, because I really wanted to finish what I was doing in prison.
Yeah, I've always said, like, I think it's great for him to be this spokesperson, but he needs the right tools to do so, and yeah, running away, like, if you can't talk to your own people,
right,
quote unquote, then you're not really effective. Like, it just shows to me that this is not what he wanted to begin with.
Right. Yep. Totally agree.
So it's sad.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to some more with him in predictions. I'm sure we have some thoughts on that. Let's talk a little bit about Debbie. I like Debbie's character this week just because we've met the actual actress in studio. Emma. Emma's great, but I can actually see Emma being more like her character in real life this episode, so I thought that was interesting. So she has a, you know, blowhorn, and she's out where all of the workers are, and she's yelling, I have a vagina, and I make less money, and, you know, F the patriarchy and all this stuff, and she becomes a total, you know, feminist in this episode and is trying to fight for equal pay. And I just thought that her character was fun this weekend, or this episode.
Yeah. You know, obviously, each of the Gallaghers does have a side of Frank that whether or not they realize is there, I don't know. But it's there, and it could be harvested for good, or it could be yielded for evil.
Yeah, that's so true. That's actually a great way to put it, because, I mean, you even see Frank doing what she's doing a little bit in this episode.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they're totally mirroring each other.
Except, you know, she's doing it from a slightly more altruistic standpoint, right. I would say. You know, obviously there's... I think they never fully have the right means of going about it, but the spirit is overall there. It's always an angered spirit.
Right, and there's always, like, a very shameless aspect of it, like her bringing her baby to do it with her, and they're in that, like, you know, welding yard, and they're doing all that stuff, and it's just funny because she's got one hand on Franny and one hand on the, you know, the megaphone, and it's kind of like... The oh my God, I can't even speak today. What is that thing called that you push a baby in?
Carriage.
That's what I was thinking, but that's not what we call it nowadays. A stroller. She's got like one hand on the stroller and one hand
I'm sorry, I'm not politically correct with my stroller versus carriage.
No, a carriage is totally right, but I feel like that's what we would have said like back in the 50s, how I got my baby carriage. Anyway, she's like kind of shaking the stroller as she's yelling. Did you expect that the guy... who's actually a girl, comes out and says, you know, get your smelly, see you next Tuesday out of here. Did you think that that was a guy or did you think that that was a girl?
I thought it was a guy to begin with. But then again, you know, the teaser from last time for the full season had, like, her questioning her sexuality. So in some sense, like, I should have kind of predicted it a little bit more.
Right.
But I wasn't thinking while I watched. I was just enjoying it.
Yeah. So she ends up at her house. Did we get that character's name?
I'm sure.
I don't think we actually did. I don't know. Or maybe we did quickly, and I didn't catch up on it, just catching up today. But yeah, she comes in and she's like, listen, I couldn't tell you there because I'm just trying to, you know, make equal wage just like you are, but I'm just trying to be a guy and, you know.
Yeah.
And so she's hiding her sexuality and the fact that she's a woman so that she gets paid $18 on the hour.
As a separate thing, I think this would be a great way for Ian to utilize, like, to transition people who, like, he knows that they're gay, but are like, no, I'm not gay. And, like, you transition them by having an experience with someone who they think is someone else.
Right.
But then it's like, voila, there's my wee-wee or there's my...
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I don't want to ask you, because this is part of predictions, whether you actually think she's gay. So save that.
I will save that.
There's a preemptive predictions question. Do you actually think that she
that Debbie is
gay? That Debbie is gay, or that she's gonna, you know, kind of figure out that whole thing through the storyline?
Sure.
Okay. Cool. So let's talk about Frank. Oh, yes, Frank, always so good. So he figures out at the bar today when he can't pay for a beer, he's got like absolutely no money left and no one's gonna spot him money. I just love those guys at the bar that are like, we hate you, Frank. Oh, they're so honest. But somebody at the bar does tell him that if he steals campaign signs for the, you know, one of the opposing campaign managers, that she'll pay him $5 for every sign, which sounds like an incredible gig. I would love that gig right now.
Yeah.
Totally do it. That's a lot of money.
Let's go. We'll create a system, a grid. We're there.
Seriously, you hit up one campaign, I'll hit up the other. We'll put all of our money together, and then we'll split it or go get a really nice dinner. Yeah, so he steals 22 signs, takes them, gets paid, and they're like, listen... We can't, you know, have you do this again. We're trying to give all of our business to, you know, all of the diverse clientele. And he's like, what? Like, that's not fair.
No, it's not. So you have Wyman, the black woman, who wants to build an art gallery.
An African-American art gallery or historic art gallery.
Yes, mm-hmm. At the brewery. And then, of course, you have Ruiz, who is a gay Hispanic and wants to build a gay...
The LGTB.
Or as Frank calls it, the LGBTQGC, whatever he says.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the best joke of all of this was when he's taking the Ruiz signs.
Yeah.
And says, like, I'll bring them back.
And then he does. Actually brings them back. And then, of course, the guy's like, I didn't want it back. Like, stop bringing me signs. I don't want more signs. Yeah, there's lead in these. Like, the paint, it's bad. I'll bring them back. They had a recall.
They're brand new. Don't worry. They're different.
Yeah, that was really funny. It's funny, too, that he did get paid for both from both campaigns for putting back the signs and stuff. He stole the signs and then got paid to put the same ones back.
That's what we call, like, kind of, not quiet money, but it's more of just like, okay, just shut up and go away money.
For sure.
Frank Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, yeah, that's really good. But that's so Frank. Like, all of a sudden he had no money, and now he's got a couple hundred bucks in his pocket out of nowhere. Like, that's just so Frank. He's a day-to-day kind of guy, but somehow he keeps surviving.
Well, the best was when he paid for his actual beer, but then once he rallied around Mo White, he took back his $10 bill as a donation.
Exactly. So let's talk about Mo White. So Frank, you know, in his, like, monologues that he has, and he goes on these rambles, decides that the South Side used to be run, you know, by whites, and they weren't suppressed at all, and they had, you know, they made all the laws, and everything was good, and there was this guy named Mo White, who he made it easier to drink, I think they said.
He made did that. He allowed the Columbus statue to stay.
Christopher Columbus statue, yeah, that didn't get knocked down. You know, he did a couple other things, too, and they were like, oh, he's perfect. So he, you know, got them all pumped up, everyone in the bar, and everyone was donating money. And like you said, he then pocketed a couple bucks right off the top immediately. But we do see in episodes for next week, so we'll talk about that in a little bit, you know, where that storyline goes. And they do try to progress that storyline.
He has a very, I'd say, fluid memory of himself.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, not that we've seen it on the seasons, but like, if we really saw the full life of Frank, I'm sure we could pinpoint moments when he was like, F Mo White.
Totally. That is so true. Totally.
So,
and yeah, that could come back to bite him in the ass. That stuff happens all the time with Frank.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see. Yeah. I'm excited to meet Mo White and see what they do with that campaign.
I'm just sad that he can't do a service for the wives anymore.
Well, and then talking about, you know, tackling current political issues, we can almost guess that this is going to, you know, be along the lines of the Trump campaign and everything, and Mo White's going to probably win. That's my prediction now. I'm just going to throw an early All prediction right. out there. Sorry. I'm just so confident about it that I'm going to throw it out there now.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Lip. He's still with Zan. He's got a lot going on this week.
Lots and lots.
A lot. So we start
I'm
off
I'm proud with, of him.
Are you? Talk about it a little bit. Why?
Well, I mean, you know, I think Brad showed him the direction that he should sponsor the guy, mm-hmm. and even though he doesn't outright say that he's going to sponsor him, like, he's mentoring him, right? Lip's not one for labels,
right?
When it comes to relationships, but right. that's what he's doing, and the fact that he handles the situation with Zan the way that he does, I think is showing that he's maturing in a really good way.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very fatherly, like, you know, come down on her when she stole that woman's wallet. Again, it was in a very Gallagher way. He swore, he said, you know, all of these swear words at her. She headbutted him in the face, like almost broke his nose. So it wasn't totally normal. It was very much a Gallagher like scenario, but yeah, I did like how he handled that for sure. And you can tell that she is really just in a place where she's scared and has no idea whether she's going to stay with him, or she's trying to help her mom too, which he can relate to, and we saw that. So, yeah, that was a little sad.
I think that's, you know, maybe we're just not seeing it, but they have to have a conversation eventually of like, okay, you're going to stay with me, you know, because part of why she's doing this, she as you said, she doesn't know her future,
right?
And so by that side, like, you know, everyone else has kind of cared for her, but then let her go,
right?
And
yeah, he's probably the only one that showed some type of real interest or that's lasted longer. Because even, you know, her aunt who left, like, she was around, but she didn't care.
She didn't. But even in that sense, like, when you're that type of kid, you know, the rug can be pulled out at any moment. Right. You know, Lip has no ultimate sort of responsibilities to her, and furthermore, like, I'm sure people have promised this girl enough in her past, so it's not like Lip can promise something of like, I'll never do this, and then she'd be like, oh, okay, and
right,
and she, you know, she's learned from her past, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah, I know, it's a little worrisome that he is taking on so much, just because we've heard him say now like 3 times in this episode how overwhelmed he is. So you just kind of imagine something's gonna happen that's really gonna overwhelm him. Or maybe we'll see him, like, totally succeed. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to take this one.
And right now he's just dealing with her, and he's got his job, and then he's got to not drink. So.
Well, and he is going to sponsor this kid. Like, that's pretty clear. He's going to be this kid's sponsor. Yeah. So.
But I think helping, but I think that ultimately helps him just as, you know, where it's.
Keeps like, him accountable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, I think eliminate the Gallagher problems. Right now it's been pretty quiet in terms of those types of situations for him. So. I think as far as a numbers game, I don't think he has that much to worry about right now.
Right now. Yeah, I know. Keyword for Shameless, always right now. We're only on episode 2. We know by episode 6 or 7, shit's going to hit the fans. So
yes.
We just have to wait a couple more episodes until then. Let's throw Kevin V out there because we loved Amy and fake Amy this week. They end up at this daycare, which I loved how they played this daycare. Boku. We need Juliet here for this one.
It's
a French daycare.
That was heaven. And as far as this joke, the best joke was, is that a future year? The only further punchline needed was is that when they graduate?
Right. Oh my God. And they was like, no, this is for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was clear with Kevin V going in that they weren't going to be able to, afford that, which is what I think made that so funny too, with the lady in her princess costume and all the kids. The one girl knew Mandarin. It was like Mandarin. It was Mandarin Chinese Day. So it made it funnier for us knowing that eventually they were going to have to tell them oh yeah, no, this isn't going to work for you. And they were going to send them somewhere that they could afford. And it was most likely going to be a shithole, which
I'm surprised they didn't know. I don't know. They seem a little bit smarter as far as kind of street smarts.
I think maybe they just had zero idea what daycare cost, in general at all. So, I know what you mean. They've seen enough, they've seen enough rich people or private school, at least with Liam, whatever, to maybe understand what that would have cost.
Yeah, or, you would expect them to be okay, we're the poor people.
Right.
Try to
come up with some type of negotiation or deal for their daughters to be there and pay something that they could afford.
Yeah. But, ultimately, they kind of walk away. $150 a week, I think, is what it ended up. And
yep, and they're at a Catholic daycare now. The kids have to be baptized, which they lie and say, of course they're baptized. Kev is like, yeah, we dunked them in that water and everything.
And we love the ash thing.
My God. We put that dirty cross on our forehead, and she was like, I'm sorry, what? And yeah, he's like, he means Ash Wednesday. And Thursdays, whatever. Oh, it was really good. And we just find out that they have one spot open, so what was oh God, what are they going to do? Are they going to give it to one girl and then what? They keep one at home? No, we figure out that they're going to come up with a plan and tell the young girls that they can't be in the same room at the same time, so that Amy can be Amy and then Gemma can be fake Amy, so that they're both Amy and they can just, screw the teachers over and screw up with their,
10 years of therapy will not undo this.
Right? Oh my God.
Oh my God. Cut to season 48 when Amy and Gemma are like,
I don't know who I am. Yeah. Oh, God. I know. It is funny, though. I'm excited to see. It's not going to work out. Is it going to work out?
I hope it doesn't work out. Again, I get that it's a comedy, but, when you're a twin from that perspective, it already feels like you have no single identity because right. Everyone refers to you as the twins. They get you mixed up and this and that. And so to say you are literally nobody.
Right. And they're not even old enough to really understand what's going on yet. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
At least make up a third name. Hey, we're going to play a fun game where both of you are called Barbara. Sarah. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Just something not Gemma or Amy.
Right. So they're just really playing a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. They were like, this is going to be a fun little secret family game.
This does not end well.
Yeah. No, not at all. Do you want to share?
Yeah, of course I like sharing. Sharing
is caring.
Listen, to undo all of that trauma, you might want to catch up on some TV shows. And of course, with TV, every great TV show comes a great after show here at AfterBuzz TV.
Oh my God, who knew?
See?
We
it's
did.
It's a perfect life cycle. And to help sort of segment out all of those things so you can find the greatest after shows. We've split up our YouTube channels by genres. So that way, whether it's a drama, whether it's reality TV, sci-fi, all that good stuff, it's segmented out for your convenience.
That sounds like you made it really easy, Phil.
Yes, you know, we try. And by subscribing to our various YouTube channels, it will suggest content to you that's tailor-made, and it'll help continue AfterBuzz to grow. And don't be worried about those pesky notifications, because, of course, they're optional, which not a lot of people tell you, but I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button, especially if you're watching us now. Subscribe to us if you haven't already done so. Shame on you. Stop being so shameless and have some shame, I guess. Is that how the term?
Subscribe.
Yes. And also, once you do, let us know that you've done so in the comments section. We'll shout you out, or at least respond via the comments section one way or the other. We love you guys as fans. You guys are wonderful, wonderful. Yes.
Thank you.
Call us on our shit. We'll call you on your shit.
Love it. That's so true.
And for now, continue being the best fans ever.
Thanks, Phil. We don't have too much time left, so let's talk about Fiona. Fiona, girl has found some balls. Not that she didn't last season, but she does. She's got some big balls this season, and I'm loving it. She meets with the commercial real estate guy who's a total douche.
Call him douchebag.
Well, yeah, we're going to call him douchebag, DB. And he, you know, is trying to screw with her.
Literally.
And, yeah, literally and figuratively. And she's smart enough, but I will say she's not smart enough without the help of Liam, which I'm, like, absolutely loving the fact that he, not that he got kicked out of school. I feel really bad. Side note for Liam. F you, Frank.
The
fact that you got him kicked out of school, he was doing so well, and you can tell how well he was doing because he's using words like artisanal. Like, yeah, it's just like amazing. He's like, yeah, that's what rich people use when they're talking about good stuff.
So this after show is so artisanal.
It is so artisanal.
We're artisanal.
Like an artisanal AF. Cuda. yeah, sure. Love it. So yeah, Liam is doing great, except for the whole school thing, but he is helping Fiona, you know, Google and find out all the information she needs to make a deal with this guy, or, you know, not at least be screwed over by this guy. And long story short, she, you know, uses her knowledge of her own building, taxes, all that stuff, to get herself into a deal of a new nursing home that's going to be opening up in the South Side. And she knows that the other nursing home that was opened up was a total, like, cash cow. They made so much money. So she had to be in on this. We do know that she had to double her original investment. She had $50,000 ready to go. She said she'd be in for $100,000, so we're going to have to see how she'll get that money.
Yeah, I mean, when it's a multi-million dollar investment, to go in for $50,000,
like, doesn't get you much.
And there's five investors, like,
right.
What did you think was going to happen?
Totally. Do you think this is going to be a good investment for her, or where do you think this is going to go?
Usually old folks' homes are. Like, if you know, people always say, like, investment apartment properties, but sometimes it might be hard to rent out apartment properties. But if you can do, like, an assisted living house,
right? That's everyone's a cash getting cow. Old at some point. Everyone's going to need to be assisted, most likely, at some point.
That's a secret from me to you.
You will get old.
No, but you will also make money if
you also make money.
Invest in that.
Yeah, good to know. You investing in any old folks' homes anytime?
Technically.
Soon?
Technically, yes.
Technically. Okay, yeah. Cool. Love it. You'll have to tell me about that after.
Will do.
Yeah. Okay, what did you think about Fiona's boyfriend?
He's getting a little
being
crabby.
Really negative, not, like, being supportive at all. Do you take that as him not being supportive of, or him trying to make sure she doesn't, like, waste her money or screw up her investments?
I don't think he should have an entire say in this. I think he was right to disagree with her as far as Ian, and I think he can show his concerns, but I don't think he should be telling her exactly where to spend money. And it's not that he's just very negative. What he should say, like, hey, just watch out for this guy. He's probably going to offer you X, Y, and Z. Now, if you want to invest in a sort of commercial property, you know, here's what I was thinking. But
right. Exactly. He should have had a conversation with her instead of, I don't see you doing that. I don't think this is right for you. It's like, how do you know this isn't right for me? Dude, step off.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she didn't play into that either. I'm glad that didn't persuade her at all, because that's not Fiona.
No. And yeah, she needed, like, he said certain things, but at the end of the day, just, like, a clock is right a broken clock is right twice a day, you know? So at the end of the day, like, she needed to go out and interact with him to yes, she can figure out that he's a douchebag, but also the opportunity wouldn't have come up if she didn't interact with him.
Right.
So, you know, you got to just take a shot.
I think she's douchebags in her life, too, to handle herself.
Yeah.
There's been plenty of douchebags around over the seasons.
Indeed.
Yeah. Do you have any quick predictions?
Before that, real fast, Lip is taking care of a child on the show. And guess what? Soon, Jeremy Allen White, who plays Lip, will be taking care of a child. I know this is sort of old news, but him and Addison Timlin, they're going to be having a baby soon. So.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about it with you guys yet, so we'd love to know your thoughts on him as a dad in real life. I think he'll be a good dad.
I think he will.
They seem very excited, at least on social media and everything. So it should be fairly soon. I think we found out that news, you know, a while ago. So when they do actually have their baby, we will let you guys know.
That's right.
Yeah.
As far as predictions, so much to predict. I really want...
Give me one good one, at least. Predictions.
Well, you asked me if Debbie's going to be a dyke, and I think Debbie's going to be...
Fail.
Debbie's going to be bi.
Debbie's going to be bi. That would be my prediction as well. Especially because she kept saying that he looks so much like a dude. Like, I think she's still attracted to men. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be a woman. So I think, yes, I think she will end up being bisexual. Any other big predictions?
I'm just curious where this is all going. Especially, you know, I think the hardest thing has always been to swallow Lip's storyline, and I think it's only, you know, it's going to get darker in some sort of sense. Everything else is a little bit more lighthearted. I want some payoffs for Ian. You know, this whole question of is he on his meds has, at this point, probably it feels like three seasons continued. Right. And I just want him to be psychologically okay.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Okay. And next week we'll have some trivia for you in our special segment, so we'll play a little bit of trivia and so forth. So so study up.
Yeah, I love that. You guys will be good at that. You know a ton about the show
because they have the internet.
Well, true. Don't look at your computers. Don't cheat. Or do and be shameless. Either way, subscribe to us below if you haven't already on YouTube. And again, subscribe to anything at AfterBuzz. We have some amazing after shows for you guys. Phil, where can they find you on social media to continue the conversation?
At Phil Svitek.
Awesome. You guys can find me at Haley Clover. Thanks for joining. Again, sorry we're one day late, but we will see you next Sunday. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.